do. It defends and uses as its point of reference from which it judges everyone and everything the norm in society. In other words, what the hassle-free zone says is reality. Example, a few centuries ago, if we'd have had today's media, they would have dismissed as mad or condemned as bad anyone who said the earth was a sphere, was round, because the hassle-free zone's version of reality at that time was that it was flat. Once that reality flipped through weight of evidence and the hassle-free zone norm became the earth is actually a sphere, suddenly anyone who said the earth was flat was now off their rocker. So anyone at any time in the public eye who says or acts in ways that are outside of society's norm at that time is immediately jumped on by the media as mad or bad, because their reference point for sanity and reality is whatever the norm is. And there are several key mind manipulation techniques which are very, very powerful propaganda tools. The most effective and the most powerful, and it's used on us all the time, is something I call problem reaction solution. It's a cracker, this one. It's a mind manipulation technique that avoids not only opposition to what is the goal of the manipulators, it actually manipulates people to demand they do what they want to do anyway. And it's happening all the time. Once you see this technique and how it works, you watch the news and read the newspapers in a completely different light, because you start to see it happening. It works like this. You start by secretly creating a problem in the world and making sure someone else is blamed for it in the public arena, in the public mind. It could be a run on a currency, it could be a government collapse. At its most extreme, it could be a war, because the two world wars in this century were funded, all sides were funded by the same people. Provable. The same people that funded the Allies in the Second World War and funded the Soviet Union also funded Hitler through loans from America, known as the Young Plan and the Dawes Plan, and also via the German subsidiaries of American multinational companies. Why would they do that? Why would someone want to fund all sides in a war? What is good is a war? Well, first of all, on one level, it makes vast amounts of money if you're lending money to all sides and you're also selling them lots of arms and all that stuff. But the fundamental reason for a war is to change the nature of post-war society. And what we saw in the First World War and the Second World War were massive global examples of problem, reaction, solution, which work like this. The problems created secretly. You then use the media, which isn't difficult, to wind up public opinion in relation to your manufactured problem to the point where public opinion utters the classic words, something must be done, this can't go on, which is always followed by, give my power away, what are they gonna do about it? And at that point, those who created the problem and got someone else to be blamed for it wound up that public reaction, then openly in the public arena, in the parliaments of the world, in the newspapers and on the television, offer the solutions to the problems they have created. And in doing so, they get vast numbers of people to demand what they want to do anyway. For instance, if you want more cameras in the streets, crikey, they're going up all over the place in Britain. If you want more cameras in the streets, you want a more armed police force, you want more authoritarian laws, greater erosions of freedom, and you want the public to demand you do it, then get the public frightened of crime. Either let society break down so there is more crime, or emphasize crime to be worse than it really is in some areas. Get people frightened, and the first thing people do when they're in fear about something is they look for someone out there to protect them from what they're frightened of. So, get people frightened that they're going to be burgled, get people frightened they're going to be mugged in the street, and they'll demand you take the freedoms away. They'll demand cameras in the streets and more authoritarian laws. I turned on the BBC radio, Radio 5, last year, and they had an item on cameras in the streets, because they're going up everywhere, these things, you know. You want money for homeless people? Oh, the economy's not too good, you know, you have to wait for these things. You want cameras in the street? They'll write the check. And this guy, he was from a council in East Anglia, Norfolk, I reckon. And he said, to be honest, he said, crime rates in our area don't justify cameras in the streets, he said, but our people think they do, so we're putting them up to make them feel better. Problem, reaction, solution. And we have a very topical example of that in the last few years, Bosnia. The goal of this manipulation, and has been for a very long time, is to get the world population, or that majority of it anyway, to see as a good idea, or the only option in given circumstances that are manipulated into place, the creation of a one world government to which nation states would be principalities, administrative units, a world central bank which would administer all financial transactions on the planet, a world currency which wouldn't be coins and notes, it would be merely electronic, cashless society, for which there are fundamental implications for freedom, as we'll see as we go along tonight. A world army under centralized control, with nation-state armies dismantled under the justification of seeking peace, and a microchipped population linked to a global computer, the latter of which sounds bizarre to many people on first hearing, except that we are ridiculously close to it and the technology already exists. So if we take one element of that under problem, reaction, solution, the world army, and relate it to Bosnia. Under this mind manipulation technique, the last thing you want is for the status quo in Bosnia, whatever it is, to be working. Because then you haven't got a problem and you're in real trouble. So you make sure the United Nations peacekeeping operation is not only shown globally to be ineffective, it's actually severely embarrassed. Problem. The more horrific pictures come out of Bosnia, and my goodness me, they have over the last few years, understandably, the louder comes the public and political reaction. Something must be done. This can't go on. What are they going to do about it? And what has been the solution? A 60,000-strong world army under centralized control, the biggest multinational force assembled on this planet since the Second World War. Exactly what the manipulation requires. And later I'll put forward some more evidence to suggest that that is exactly what the goal of Bosnia is. Starting a war is a doddle. You know, there's no one in this room, I would say, that wants a fight tonight. Okay, fine. But I could go into this audience and I could start a fight with somebody. They would defend themselves. Other people in the audience would come to help them out. Suddenly, an audience that does not want a fight would be chaos, with fists and hands and arms everywhere. Take that to the global level with armies and starting a war's a doddle. To keep the war going, you need money. Same people control the money. To keep the war going, you need arms. Same people control the arms. The way that this can be done with a very few people at the peak, that is because if you look at every organization today, be it a university, a school, a government, a secret society, anything, a multinational company, business of any kind, they're structured as a pyramid. The pyramid is the structure of society today. I believe that we're actually moving in this spiritual awakening that's going on now from the pyramid to the circle, which is a very, very different way of people contributing to society. But at the moment, we have the hierarchy, the pyramid, which works like this. In any organization, you've got a very, very few people at the peak of the pyramid. That very few people know exactly what that organization's about, what its real agenda is, what it's really trying to achieve. The further you come down from that peak in any organization, you're meeting more and more and more people who know less and less and less and less about what the organization's really about. They only know their part. The CIA call this compartmentalization, keeping from everyone else in the pyramid how what they're doing in apparent innocence links in with what other people are doing in apparent innocence to produce a very sinister pattern. I was talking to a guy who worked for 20 years at the listening station at Cheltenham, GCHQ, and he was telling me that that building is actually structured under this process of compartmentalization. If you work at GCHQ, you have an electronic card which only gets you in that part of the building where you work. You can't get anywhere else. So the only people in GCHQ who know everything that's coming in, how it fits together and what's really going on, what the real pattern is the very, very few people at the top. This is how it works all along. The Freemasons are a classic example of this. When you say that the Freemason secret society is involved, people think that you must be saying that every Freemason wants to manipulate the world to global dictatorship. Utterly ridiculous. Of course they don't. But if you look at the Freemason structure, the vast overwhelming majority of Freemasons in the world, you know, the ones that go down the local lodge and roll their trouser leg up and show their left thing or whatever, you know. Strange. I've always wanted to do that. It'd be a bit of fun. They never get higher than the bottom three levels of degree, the overwhelming majority. But in the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, which pervades much of world politics, particularly in America and other areas, there's another 30 degrees above that, to the 33rd degree, which the vast majority of Freemasons never get near. And there's another 13 levels, not officially accepted to exist, which some people call Illuminati degrees, which at that level, the Freemason secret society is in a different universe to the part where the vast majority of Freemasons exist, right down here. Compartmentalization. This is how it works. So every one of these institutions that control the direction of the world and our daily lives is a pyramid. The banking system is a pyramid. You go into the local bank, the person you meet across the counter won't even know what's going on in the bank manager's office behind them, let alone what's going on at board level and higher. I met a guy only last weekend who'd been in the bank. He's retired now, but he worked for a big British bank, and he worked to a very, very high level in it. And he heard me speak, and he came up to me afterwards, and he said, you know, it's right, you know. He said, because I got very, very high in this bank, but there is an echelon above where I got that no one can get unless they are chosen by this elite few. So the banking system is a pyramid going to a peak. The intelligence agency network in the world is a pyramid going to a peak. At that peak, all the major intelligence agencies, British intelligence, Mossad, the CIA, all these around the world, they're the same organization. Not here, but here they are. The multinational company network is a pyramid. So is the global media, and so on. And there is a global pyramid within which all these work, in which the peaks of all these individual pyramids, banking, business, media, etc., fuse into one peak. And up there, it's speculated by many people, there perhaps may be no more than 13 families, 13 people at the peak, pervading down through these different levels, the same basic policy, which is pushing the world towards more and more centralization of power. And within this global pyramid are a series of organizations which, from my experience anyway, most journalists will never have heard of. But working together, they form the core of the secret government of the world. And this is operating well above the level of the Clintons and the Majors and the Coles and so on. Indeed, they are manipulating events to make sure that their people get in to positions of power. There is this like cozy little myth that is perpetuated between politicians and the media. Politicians walk the world stage as if they are the final arbiters of power in the world. So when a president speaks, the cameras run and it's flashed around the world, prime ministers and such like. The media report the world as if presidents and prime ministers are the final arbiters and decision makers in the world, which